We started a sermon series last week. This is our Advent series called The Gift. And we started off I mentioned last week that during this season, a lot of people look forward to different things. Some people, they look forward to the end of the year celebration that many, many companies have. Some people, they look forward to their end of the year bonuses. Children look forward to the gifts that they'll receive on Christmas. Some people, they look forward to being with family again. So there's a lot of things that people look forward to. Some people, they just look forward to the end of the year because this year was such a difficult year for them, and they can't wait for the new year to start. A lot of people look forward to different things. Well, Advent is a time where we look forward to Jesus Christ and His coming, His first coming, which we celebrate on Christmas, but also we take the time to remember that He's coming once again in His second coming. And so the Advent season is a time that we want to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ and look forward to Christmas, but also look forward to His second coming. And it's also a time where there might be a lot of distractions, where it takes away our focus so that we're focusing on other things that are coming up. But we want to be reminded over and over again to look forward to Christmas and Jesus Christ's second coming. Last time we talked about how Jesus was talking about something really important, and he was talking about how the people need to acknowledge him. But then all of a sudden there were these two brothers that were disputing. They were in an argument, and even though Jesus was talking about this really important thing, all of a sudden these brothers are talking about money. And the brothers are saying, tell my brother to give me my part of the inheritance. And so it's strange, but during this Advent season, during this particular Advent series, we're going to focus specifically on money. And it might be a strange thing to think about, but that's what we're going to do. And last week we talked about how God is the God who has an abundance and is able to give in abundance. God owns everything. He's the creator of the world. And He's able to give to us everything that we need. And we're going to continue this idea how last week we talked about hope. And we have this future hope of experiencing an abundance in God one day as we look forward to Jesus Christ's second coming. But even today, we're able to experience that abundance. Today, we're going to focus on the next topic in Advent, which is peace. Last week was the gift of abundance. Today is the gift of enough. And so we're going to look at Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to verse 30. If you have a Bible, I want to ask you to open it up. And if you have one of these Bibles from the outside, we're going to be looking at page 871. 871. Luke chapter 12, verse 22 to verse 30. Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to verse 30. And I will read the passage for us today. This is the reading of God's word. And he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Amen. I was doing my devotionals this past week. I read through a passage every day, and then I pray. I take some time to pray. And then afterwards, I get really busy trying to get my kids ready for school. I wake them up at about 6 o'clock in the morning, and then I get them ready, I help them to get ready, and then we have to leave the house by 6:45 a.m., 6:42. I tell them that it's time to go. Actually, Alexa tells them it's time to go. We set it up, and then we end up usually leaving around 6:45 to about 6:50. If it's 6:50, we start running. During that time, as we're walking to the bus stop, and that the bus leaves at 7, as we're walking to the bus stop, I share with them a bit of what I read in the Bible. And so I help them have their own devotional in the morning. And then I tell them what their prayer should be, and they take a time to pray as we're walking. Well, this past week, I read from the book of Mark, and it talked about how Jesus fed the 5,000. Right? Some of you guys might know the story where Jesus had some bread and some fish, and then he was able to just take that little amount, and then it would expand. I don't know if it expanded, but it would multiply so that it was actually able to feed 5,000, and that's probably just the men. If you counted the women and children, there would probably be a lot more than 5,000 people. So Jesus did a miracle. And then afterwards, he sends his disciples off, and then his disciples find themselves on a boat, and there's a storm that's happening. It's just they're on the boat, and then they see Jesus walking on the water, and they say, "Ah, it's a ghost." And then he gets into the boat, and he says, "It's okay, guys. It's just me." He gets into the boat, and things are calm, and then Mark says something. I think it's Mark, but there's a comment there that comes after, and it says something along the lines of, they were amazed, they were astonished by what just happened with Jesus walking on the water and everything. They were astonished. And it says, because they didn't understand about the loaves of bread. And I was thinking, what? Why does it mention the loaves here? And so I was trying to explain to my kids, maybe what Mark was saying here was that the disciples, they just experienced this amazing miracle where Jesus provided for all the people. Jesus provided for all the people. And Jesus was showing that he's God. But then when he was walking on water, of course, if it's God, he would be able to walk on water, but they just didn't understand that Jesus is God and that he's able to give them all that they need. And Jesus is able to even bring them calm and peace. Jesus is able to do all these things. But they were astonished because they didn't believe and they didn't understand about the loaves just yet. Perhaps for us, sometimes we, as Christians, we know that Jesus Christ did an amazing thing, came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, did this amazing thing and reconciled us back to the Father, that we're able to have a relationship with God, and yet we run into some situation in our lives and we don't have peace anymore because we don't understand about the loaves or we don't really understand about the gospel. Today, the main idea is this. Let peace fill your hearts as Jesus provides enough. Let peace fill your hearts as Jesus provides enough. We're going to go through 3 points. Number one, enough. Number two, peace. And number three, integrity. I was going to try to make some acronym up like EPI, you know, EPI. Maybe this will help you guys remember. And I tried to look it up and there's nothing, I don't know, European, something, something, you know. But I couldn't think of anything. Maybe you guys know something. But anyways, the 3 points are enough, number two, peace, and number three, integrity. Again, the main idea is let peace fill your hearts as Jesus provides enough. Let's talk about this idea of enough. As we look at our passage today, it says He said to his disciples, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Jesus is teaching here, and he's saying, look, there's so many of you that are worrying about your lives. You have no peace in your hearts. You guys stay up nights, and you have so many thoughts that are going up, that are going on in your mind. You wake up in the middle of the night, and all these thoughts are racing through your mind, and you get a bad night of sleep. Some of you have so many thoughts that are going on in your mind that you don't know how to deal with these things, and so you turn to other things, like just constantly looking at your phone, looking at dramas, watching Korean dramas, or drinking alcohol, and you don't know how to deal with all these thoughts, and so you find some way to deal with the anxiousness. And some of us, you know, we say, at least I'm doing something healthy, like I'm going to play sports. But for some of us, even that is a way to drown out all the anxiousness that we feel in our hearts. And Jesus says, life is more than just those things that you're worrying about. Life is more than just about food and where you're trying to earn all this money because you're worried about your future. You're trying to earn all this money because you're worried about how you're going to provide for your family or how you're going to pay for your sickness or your illness. And you're just busy in your mind about all these things. Life is more than just about food, and the body is more than just about clothing. When we go on, Jesus says, look, just take a moment to stop and observe what's going on in nature. Think about the ravens, the birds out there. They don't labor. They don't sow or reap. They don't save up money and build storehouses and barns. And yet God feeds them. God gives them what they need. And then Jesus says, how much more valuable are you than these birds? Think about that. When God looks at you, he does not say, you're worthless. You're worth less than these birds. God doesn't say that. God says that you are my creation. You are valuable. And even more so to Christians, he says, you are my child, and I have a relationship with you. I've bought you with the blood of my son, with the blood of Jesus Christ. You are much more valuable than the ravens, the birds of the air. I feed the birds. Don't you think I'll take care of you? With a similar idea, Jesus goes on in verse 27. He says, consider the lilies. How they grow. They don't labor. They don't do all this work. And yet, I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Look at the lilies. How beautiful they are. How God made them beautiful. Not because they're working so hard to make themselves beautiful. They don't worry about how other people will look at them. They don't worry about whether or not people will accept them. They don't worry about whether or not they'll be picked so that they could become flowers for someone. They don't worry about any of these things. God made them beautiful. And it goes on in verse 28 and it says, but if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Again, what God is saying, what Jesus is saying, is the grass, the lilies, the birds, they don't labor. They do work, but they're not to a point where they're so anxious about their own lives. They're not so worried about what's going on, and God continues to feed them and clothe them and grow them. God is working in their lives. And he tells the people then, and he tells us through his word today, What are you anxious about? Why are you so anxious? See, the thing is that especially if you're Christian, especially if you're Christian, you hear a message like this, you hear a passage like this, and you say, I know God is great, God is powerful, and I know that God is supposed to provide for his people and things like that. And you know, and yeah, God does provide in some ways, but I still want more. I still want more. And I really want God to provide in this way. And so this is what my prayer is. And so would you pray for me, Pastor? Would you pray for me, small group? I would like you to pray that I would get this job. I would like you to pray that my children would grow up in this way. Because I'm so worried about them. I'm so worried about my future. And so even though God says, why are you worrying? I'm giving you what you need. And yet we're here saying, oh, but I still want more. I still want more. I still want more. God, please provide all these things that I feel like I don't have. You see, God gives us enough. God gives us what we need. God knows what is enough for us. And yet, we find our hearts not filled with peace because our hearts are wanting more. Again, the idea for today is this. Let peace fill your hearts as Jesus provides enough, because the fact is that Jesus has given you enough for what you need today. And if you're wanting something more, there's something that's going on in your heart that we need to explore a little bit. But the fact is that the scriptures tell us God has given you enough for what you need today. So then let's talk about peace, this idea of not being anxious. Let's talk about this idea of peace. Let's go back to what Jesus said in the beginning there in our passage. He says, life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. So don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will put on. You know, when we think about our lives and what we define as life, it's not just the fact that we're breathing. But it's this idea that we want to experience more than just a life of difficulty. We want to experience life in a way that it seems like life was meant to be. Life was supposed to be somehow better. Life was somehow supposed to be something better than what I'm experiencing. And we define that as life. And if I could just get that. And so just think right now. There might be something where you might be saying, if I can only just get this thing, if I can only just achieve this thing, if I can only just see my children in a certain way, if I can only something, then finally I can experience peace. Then finally I can just relax and be okay. So what is that thing for you? What is that thing where you say, if only I can just graduate, find that job, get a higher salary, get out of my situation right now, not be sick anymore, my children to be a certain way? What is your thing? If only I can, then finally I will experience peace. What is that thing? I read an article last week. It's from a Business Insider. And the title was, Three Things Centenarians Regret, according to longevity researchers who talk to the world's oldest people every day. I don't know about you guys, but there are these like documentaries and news articles that come out recently. Maybe it's just my feed, I don't know. But there are these articles that are coming out that talk about these people that live up to 100 and past 100. And there's this research going on about how do they achieve that? Because everyone wants to live long lives, right? And yet, even at that old age, there were three regrets. What were the three regrets? The three top regrets, what were they? Number one, I wish I would have stayed, I wish I would have spent more time with family. That's one of them. Another one, I wish that I would have worked less. And the third one is, I wished I would have traveled more. Okay, so let's think about that a little bit. I wish that I would have spent more time with family. You see, life is not just about food or clothing, how people look at you, how you will be able to provide security for yourself. Life is more than just that. Life is about understanding that family is actually an important thing, and you make sacrifices even at work so that you can spend time with family. Some people, they responded by saying, I wish I would have spent more time with family. And other people responded in a similar way, and they said, I wish I had more children. I wish I would have had more children. Other people that said, I wished I worked less. I would have worked less. They were dedicating themselves to work because, again, they thought that maybe work would provide some more financial security, or maybe work would allow them to experience some sense of achievement, that they were able to accomplish something. Or maybe if they worked hard, then other people in their lives, maybe their spouses or their children, would actually look at them and think, yeah, this person is a great person, a great father, a great spouse. And so people worked hard in their lives. But the regret was, because I put so much time into work, I lost time with my family. And the third was that they wished that they would have traveled more. You know, if you travel more, then you get to see more of God's creation. Your view of what life is about gets to be expanded. And, you know, people talk about when you're working so hard, you're in like a rat race. You have that little spinning thing that you put your little pet mouse in, and it just keeps running and running and running, but it's going nowhere, right? And so what if you were to get off that, and then you begin to explore what's actually out there in this world? Then you'll begin to see more of God's creation. You'll begin to see that life is more about appreciating what God has made, appreciating God, enjoying the Lord, and it's not about your working life. Work just becomes a tool if you have this mindset. Work no longer becomes something that controls you. And by the way, I want to say that this is the case no matter what your job is. Whether you're a missionary, a pastor, or whether you're working in the regular workplace, or whether you're working to be a mom, whatever your job is, this is the same thing. See, the thing is that Jesus has told us that God has given us enough. And when God gives us enough, that allows us to understand that we have, believers, we have a heavenly Father that knows what you need and will provide you with what you need. The Lord will provide. And what He gives is enough. But again, some of us might say, I don't know, I still feel like I want more. So when is enough enough? Let me give an example real quick. How many of you guys have eaten at a buffet before? If you've never eaten at a buffet, maybe you've eaten at a potluck, one of our church Thanksgiving potlucks or whatever, and you have all this food around, right? And so when is enough enough, right? When you're eating at a buffet, you're thinking, oh, I'm going to eat a lot here. Yes. Especially if you're at a buffet, right? Oh, look at all this good food. And then people usually end up leaving the buffet like, oh, I don't feel so good, right? It's just too much food, and you end up hurting yourself in a way because you've eaten too much. But what's the reasons that we tell ourselves of why we need to go back and get some more food? What are some of the reasons? Well, some of the reasons are, I'm going to get my money's worth. Right? Oh, some of you guys are like, amen. Right. You know, some of us, we say, we're going to get our money's worth. See, the thing, when we think about that, we're saying like, you know, I need to make sure that I'm going to get enough of what I'm getting with my hard-earned money. Right? Or other people, they might say, oh, that thing is just so good. I just need to get one more taste. Oh, yes. That was so good. Oh, man, I'm so full. But, oh, man, I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to get this again. And it's so good. I'm just, oh, another one. Like me, this is the thing that I fall into. All the different flavors of ice cream and it's Häagen-Dazs. I need to get as much as I can, even though I'm so full. And some people, they say, I'm just going to take advantage of this because I don't know when I'm going to eat like this again. Some of us are invited to a nice meal with a boss or whatever, and you don't know when you're going to get a nice meal like that again. And man, it's not just a regular buffet. This is top-notch buffet. So I'm going to eat whatever I can. And so when is enough enough? You see, the thing is that we do eat enough, and we get to a certain point where it is enough. But our minds are fixed on something else. I need to get my money's worth. Oh, man, it's so tasty. I feel like I need to get more of that. And we ignore the signals that say it's enough now. And we start taking more and more and more to the point it actually starts hurting us. You see, that's what happens. We think we want more, and we even pray to God, we want more, God. But God is there saying already, look, if you're wanting more, don't you know you're going to end up hurting yourself? Take a step back. I've given you enough already. And so our minds are actually going in the direction of saying, I want more. I want more. And we're saying at the same time, God, I don't want you. I don't want you in my life. You see, here's the thing. This is the way that the Proverbs says it. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8 and 9, it says this. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Just give me enough, is what it's saying. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. You see, if God gives us too much, or if we just want too much, what ends up happening is that we will deny the Lord and say, no, I don't need the Lord anymore. Or sometimes when we feel like we don't have enough and we want more, it's still the same idea, but we feel like we don't have enough, then that might lead us to steal. We have this poor mentality that we don't have a rich heavenly Father that is able to give us all that we need. Again, Jesus says, your Father knows that you need them. What we end up doing a lot of times, I had a bunch of verses that I wanted to show you guys, but I'm going to skip all the verses. But here's the main idea of what I wanted to show with the verses. The main idea is that when we fall into this idea of, God, I still want more. It's not enough what you've given to me. Instead of saying, God, I'm content. I'm satisfied with what you've given to me today. Instead of saying that, we say, I want more, I want more, I want more. When we do that, the Bible tells us that we actually turn away from God and we worship these created things. We think these things are more important. And so instead of finding our full satisfaction in God who gives us everything that we need, what we do is we turn to these other things, and God is the one who's able to fully satisfy us, but then we separate ourselves from God, and what we end up doing is we experience this incredible need, this incredible desire, and we fall into that over and over again. Even as Christians, we say, God, I'm going to ignore the fact that you've given me everything that I need, and I'm going to try to find satisfaction in something else. Even as Christians, we do this. And what ends up happening is that we end up hurting ourselves and we end up hurting other people around us. What we deserve is punishment. What we deserve is to feel incredibly painful because we've wanted so much and we've continued to chase after that thing. But God loved us so much. He didn't want to leave us where we were. And he sent his only son, Jesus Christ. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, and it says this in Luke chapter 2. Unto you is born today in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. You see, Jesus Christ, he came to the earth and he died for the sins that we committed, especially for the sins where we turn away from God and we say, God, you're not enough for me. Whatever you've given to me is not enough. Jesus Christ died for those sins as well. And he rose again from the dead. And he made a way for us to be able to have a relationship with our Father once again. And because of our relationship with the Father, there's this promise that is given to us where Paul says clearly in Romans chapter 8, he says, I'm convinced that nothing in this world will be able to separate the love of God from me, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. We have, Christians, we have a relationship with God now because of what Jesus Christ did for us. And God is pouring out his love upon us. God is pouring out his love and his goodness and his compassion. Everything that we're looking for, God gives to us, and he gives us plenty. Remember the loaves? You think it's just one loaf of bread. But God is multiplying that in your life. Do you not understand? God has saved you. God has loved you. God is providing for you everything that you need. So don't chase after other things. Why are you wanting more? Don't be anxious about your life, because life is more than just food. And God is providing for you all that you need today. Even in your sickness, even in your pain, even in your broken relationships, even in your struggle with finances, God has given you what you need today. And so, what are you telling yourself? What are you telling yourself? You know, at the buffet, people, they tell themselves, ah, I need to get my money's worth. And people even preach that idea. I need to get one more plate because I need to get my money's worth. And you tell the people that you went with, right? It's so important. What are we telling ourselves? Are we telling ourselves today, God has given me enough? Or are we still telling ourselves, I need more? I want more. Let peace fill your hearts as you continue to tell yourself, and we remind one another, that Jesus does provide enough. What's a practical way to practice this? What's a practical way to experience that peace? Well, if God has given us enough, then one of the ways that we could practice this idea of enough is with the idea of integrity. Remember last week I talked about, we're going to be going through this idea of gift. Last week we talked about the practical way of experiencing hope is by being generous. Today we're going to talk about integrity. Next week we'll talk about frugality. And the week after that we'll talk about Thanksgiving. So let's talk about integrity. The way that we can experience this is by basically taking care of your finances in a way that even if it was revealed to others, you would have nothing to hide. It's this idea of being honest. and being able to be generous. You know, the reason why finances is such a difficult topic to talk about is because people want to hide their finances. Whatever the reason might be, people want to hide their finances. Now, I'm not saying that we should all go and show our finances to everyone. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, if it was revealed to other people that you would have nothing to hide. You see, if God is providing enough for you, then you what you're doing is you're taking care of your finances. You're being conscious of where you're using your finances. And you're doing it in a way that you feel like this is important and right. And I'm also going to be giving to the proper people. And I'm going to be giving to people in need. And I'm going to use my finances in a good way, to the point where if people were able to look at my finances, I would have nothing to hide. And that's what integrity is about. Because the thing is that a lot of people, they may cut corners with their finances, and they want to hide that away. So specifically, being honest with giving to the church, being honest with giving to the government, with your taxes, being honest with finances, with the customers, about what price you give to them and what will really be beneficial to the customers, rather than thinking about what will be beneficial for yourself only. Being honest with finances, with employees. Are you paying them enough? Are you paying them for their work? Are you paying them for their overtime? Being honest with your finances. Again, if God has provided enough and we're working to make sure that we're using the finances in the best way possible, then we will have that integrity. And you know what the end result will be? It'll be peace. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that you do provide enough. And Lord, with whatever you give to us, we're able to use that for your kingdom and for your glory. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll be working in each of our hearts, that you would help us all along the way to remind us that you do give us what we need for today, and that we don't have to worry. We can have your peace. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.